Before we begin, I would like to thank artist Big Giant Circles for allowing us to use his music for our intros, outros, and bumpers. For more of his music, please check out itunes.com/biggiantcircles, or you can go to biggiantcircles.com. I would also like to thank all of our patrons for supporting our magazine. By contributing, you help bring us one step closer to bringing back our physical magazine, as well as other pure Nintendo goodness such as our Purely Playthroughs and the KoopaCast. If you would like to contribute to our Patreon, please go to patreon.com/purenintendo. Hey everybody, it's the KoopaCast, Pure Nintendo's official podcast. And unofficial podcasts, and everything in between. I'm your host, Matt, the multimedia manager of PNM at PureNintendo.com, and I am joined by Trevor Gould.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Justin Sharp.
Hey, everyone. Good to be here.
And Harrison Melfeld.
Yo. How is everybody?
And we are going to be talking about the best, or sorry, excuse me, the GOTY, that is Game of the Year Awards. Of why are you laughing over there?
GOT, you're just essentially going through it that way. It's like, well, just say Game of the Year, but like, we're gonna keep the acronyms here, GOTY, you know, and whatnot. So,
well, I like to call them GOTYs, but I think people seem to be offended by that, so I don't know.
I think people of Game of Thrones might be offended by that.
Do they call it Game of Thrones GOTY?
They just call it GOT.
Oh, I've learned something today. So
if you say GOTY, you got to sing it like Queen Latifah, like GOTY.
It's a miracle I'm speaking at all. Don't ask me to sing. But yes, we will be talking about the Game of the Year Awards for 2017 for both the 3DS and the Nintendo Switch. And boy, what a year it's been. This is the first year for the Nintendo Switch. It was an explosive year. And especially for PNM, we reviewed 233 games, according to Trevor here.
Not counting reviews that were exclusive to PNM. So that number is even higher.
Nice.
That is just starting out, like, this was like my first full year to actually, you know, getting in reviews, and just to see the sheer amount of stuff that we've kind of came in to just pile in and just set out. It's amazing for what we do, and not to kind of, you know, pat ourselves too much on the toot our own horns and just pat ourselves on the back, but still, I mean, that's all that goes up to everybody else who's involved with the, you know, with the site right now, and just great job and everybody else just picking up everything that we could.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm especially proud the last quarter we hit our goal with 92 reviews in 92 days, so we hit our daily average. That was the real cruncher. What's that expression?
Yeah, crunch time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crunch time? Yeah, I think you just almost had it. when you mentioned as far as 2000, like Matt was mentioning about 2007, just off here, would you just say like 2007 was probably the best, and I would say overall in just the gaming sphere, was probably the best year in gaming since, I don't know, it's probably one of the best.
I mean, I like 2007 okay, but let's talk about 2017. Try to keep it more current.
Mm-hmm.
Have I been saying 2007 this whole time? You're making me paranoid.
I'm making you paranoid.
Yeah. Hey, Harrison, you were saying 2007, but that's all right.
Okay.
I did say that. Whoops.
I know. I know he said it, but I was like, is he saying it because I said it?
So I apologize there. Yes. I went back in time.
So Wii Sports is one of our games of the year. It's really
Super Mario Galaxy.
Motion controls.
Super Mario Galaxy was pretty good, and
it's still Super Mario 64.
2007 was actually a pretty good year.
All right. So yes, the 2017 games. There are a lot of amazing games, especially for the first year, the proving ground year for the Nintendo Switch, I think. And of course, another a good proving ground year for the 3DS, which a lot of people were afraid of would be just kind of like cast to the wayside because we have this new hybrid console out there.
And of course, I was just reading The 3DS had its biggest holiday season since 2014. So while some core gamers might be quick to dismiss it, it's selling strong. And it's making Nintendo a lot of money.
Yep, it is indeed right now, despite if there are some things with the system that definitely could be worked out, obviously, whether it's the OS and maybe... I know one big demand from buddies like getting the idea of like cloud saving on here, but it's still, it's amazing what it's done in its first year, given the amount of doubt it's had, you know, coming right out of the gate. And not to say that everybody didn't have the right to doubt it at all, but I mean, for those who just seemingly said like, oh, there's no way this thing's going to succeed coming off the heels of the Wii U, knowing where Nintendo was, but the output that they did and what they did from last year in the January like Switch event, they said, yeah, we are going to give a steady stream of games, and I can't recall one that was ever delayed.
I'm sorry. I think we might have segued from I was actually talking 3DS.
Oh. Too.
Way to get ahead of the page.
Oh, wow. Jeez. That is me.
Anyway, you know.
I know Harrison, Twitch only.
So... 2017, a great year for games for both the 3DS and the Nintendo Switch. But that makes it, of course, that makes it harder for us. It's the double-edged sword here. So many great games, so hard to choose that game of the year, that game of games that really defined the year for us. And I'm sure it was a struggle for both the readers as much as I know it was for the staff. And with that, I am going to turn it over to Trevor Gould here. I'm kind of at the tail end of fighting a bit of a cold here, so got a little bit of the coughs here and there, and my voice might go. So, Trev, please take it away.
All right, and I don't have a cold. My voice just sounds like this, so. All right. Well, I figure we can kick things off with 3DS. And the first category we had was 3DS eShop Game of the Year. And this is one where the staff and readers were both in sync. We both picked Chicken Wiggle from Atui as Game of the Year, beating out both Apollo Justice and Bye Bye Box Boy, which were second and third, and I think the fans flipped that third and second. But yeah, certainly Chicken Wiggle, I was privileged to review that. That was a great game. And there's talk now bringing it to the Switch. Where it should hopefully find an even bigger audience.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Watch Up seems to be in a, like part of a larger campaign to bring a lot of his games over to the Nintendo Switch, right?
It's seeming that way. We know Zio Drifter's coming. He already brought Mutant Muds. You know, granted, that was in a collection with some new content. You know, they're great games. And I give him credit for really... you know, calling to arms the Twitter fans. Because I remember when we were running this poll, I went to bed and actually Apollo Justice had the lead. And then the next morning, Chicken Wiggle had shot up in front. So He's a good marketer.
Sounds like Capcom should have fought a little bit harder.
Well, we did get one comment that Apollo Justice, you know, shouldn't count because it's a DS release. But quite frankly, if you're an Ace Attorney fan, I mean, we're only getting them. We're not in Japan. We're only getting them digitally. So.
And especially,
you know, it is what it is.
Especially Apollo Justice, which hasn't like received as many ports, or like, you know, transfers over to like newer hardware as, you know, so like the first three were released several times over, sometimes on iOS, sometimes on the Nintendo Wii, and then of course again on the Nintendo 3DS, where Apollo Justice kind of like was on was on the DS. And then it kind of was silent for a while before it came on iOS early 2017, maybe late 2016. And then, we got it for the 3DS in 2017. So, you know, it's a critically acclaimed title. I haven't had the chance to play it myself. I've played pretty much every Ace Attorney game except for this one. I do look forward to it eventually. But, I mean, from what Trevor's told me, there's definitely a lot of great merits to this game.
I think so. Yeah, and your patience may pay off because these games tend to go on sale before too long, the series. So yeah, that was our runner-up. That was the fans' third place. Ahead of that was Bye Bye Box Boy, which I think, Harrison, you played?
Yes, that was out of all these nominees. Yeah, this is the one that I actually played the most to, and is the I assume right now the conclusion from what it is right now to the very popular Box Boy series that has really kind of took me off guard, and I just found incredibly charming from all to end in each game. And even if I felt like this one did not kind of build off more on the neat mechanics from I'm forgetting the name of the sequel of Box Boy. Box Boy. Sorry. So I know that's what we're thinking, like, why couldn't there be numbers? But that's the case. It didn't really build off the mechanics of the sequel to so much, but there was a lot to be had that I really enjoyed in this one. And even when people have a 3DS for the first time or they haven't checked it out, this is one series I recommend too.
Nice. So, and I'm just going to do a shameless plug for the Winter Chicken Wiggle. If you are interested in checking out some popular fan courses, Jules actually collaborated with us, and it's listed in the last issue of PNM. So hopefully fans can check that out. But three great games here. So congrats to Atui and to HAL and Capcom on their 3DS offerings, which will take us into the retail scene where, for me personally, this was the hardest category to vote for because there were just so many good games. And there were some differences between the fans and the staff. For Ultimate Winner, we both picked Metroid Samus Returns, so we're unified there. But in terms of runner-up, there was a difference. The fans sided with Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon and Fire Emblem Echoes, where we went with Ever Oasis and Monster Hunter Stories. So quite a few games to talk about here. Justin, you want to maybe kick us off?
Yeah. It was interesting that both Ever Oasis and Monster Hunter Stories weren't higher up on the list for fans, but those were two games that I really enjoyed this year. And Ever Oasis especially, you know, when you think about the 3DS's year, I mean, as good as Metroid Samus Returns was, you know, it is a, you know, an enhanced, you know, remastering of Metroid 2. So, and then Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon, also kind of a, you know, enhanced version of Sun and Moon. Fire Emblem Echoes, again, you know, an enhanced version of a Fire Emblem game we never received here in the US. But so it is kind of sad that some of those more unique games like Monster Hunter Stories, granted a sequel, but if you guys have ever read much about Monster Hunter Stories, it's a very different take on the Monster Hunter series, and I want more games like it. For me, the typical mainline Monster Hunter games haven't really pulled me in as much. But I don't know, for some reason, the Monster Hunter Stories, maybe it was just the similarities to the Pokemon series that I really gravitated towards, but I really enjoyed that. And Ever Oasis is just fantastic. So
that's one game I did not get a chance to, I was excited for, but never got around to playing.
Yeah. If you guys do get the chance, find it on sale or something. It's definitely worth a playthrough, both of them.
Now, Justin, I thought your whole thing with Monster Hunter is that you just kind of felt bad for all the monsters you were hunting.
Yes, that is the crux of my reasoning. So that may sound silly, but I think I talked to someone else that had a similar feeling about Monster Hunter, because I don't know, like in games, if you make the enemies, you know, the enemy creatures or whatever they are, sound like they're feeling pain, you know, I don't know, for some reason that gets me. You know, like in a Zelda game, you don't hear the Bokoblins like, I don't know, like for some reason, it's just mentally different for me. You go up and attack just you know, what looks like a cool looking dinosaur in Monster Hunter.
And, he's minding his own business too.
Yeah, he's just minding his own business, drinking some water, and you just start wailing on him, and he's like trying to run away. And so it's like, oh, this is kind of sad, but. The art style too, but yeah.
I agree with you. In fact, playing Monster Hunter Stories, if I'm going to get an egg, and there's and the monster catches sight of me, I'll leave the nest rather than try to fight them.
Yeah, same here. I always just ran. Yeah. Well, and that was, to me, that's also like, it still made me feel bad how you're like stealing the eggs from the nest. It's like, oh yeah, that's so kind of bad. But for the most part, the game was very fun, and I loved the progression and world they built. It's a very impressive game for what they did on the 3DS. It's almost like a full 3D RPG. You can think like on the scale of something like Pokemon Sun and Moon, but fully 3D. Like you don't have kind of those top-down isometric viewpoints that Sun and Moon uses pretty heavily. This is like designed, you know, to be all 3D throughout. So.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And the battles were very engaging too. So if they're turn-based, so they've got some similarities with Pokemon there, but they're very different than Pokemon. There's a lot of I don't know, like quick time events, you know, kind of things that require your attention, and you know, some cool rock paper scissor type gameplay like Pokemon. But I thought it was engaging.
So you hear that, fans? You missed out by not picking Ever Oasis and Monster Hunter Stories.
Yeah, check them out. Check them out.
Not that we can fault those choices. I mean, Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon, you know, the originals were our 3DS game of the year last year. So, yep. Fire Emblem Echoes, I reviewed that and I gave it a 7, which is good, but it didn't resonate with me quite as much as it did the fans. But that's cool. I like seeing the diversity in, you know, opinions.
Do you feel though that, I mean, I noticed they added so much to it, whether it was dungeon crawling and then kind of like going, I wouldn't say backwards, it seems like, in the design of this, but it really wasn't as much as a giant leap that they wanted from like Fates, for instance. But I heard the narrative in this one is a lot better.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. I wanted more of the dungeon crawling. I really liked it. And then it seemed like it was a tease for something better that never came. Because I liked it. I thought it broke up. It gave some variety. And but ultimately, it was just a different kind of coat of paint on the same mechanic. Because once you encountered the enemies, it kind of played out the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also didn't like the DLC approach, which really shouldn't reflect on the core game. But again, it is what it is. But I'm happy to see that, you know, we have a variety of choices. I mean, 5 games between the fans and staff. That's cool. But
and yet there was only one winner.
Yeah, we're united in Metroid Samus Returns. Again, I was fortunate to review that, and I loved it. I beat it the night before embargo broke. It was a little touch and go there, but I thought it was great. What do you guys think?
I fell in love with it. It was just I never did play AM2R, the fan remake that, you know, was shut down around the same time of Metroid's 30th anniversary in like August 2016. But to me, this is something that I felt like the ideas that were given into it really took off a lot more. And it was a nice fresh coat of paint for something that I felt like was, you know, even though it was a black sheep of the Metroid series, it was still probably the most important portion of that main series, like of that storyline. You know, knowing what happens in that game affects, you know, essentially two other games in the series. So to me, that's what I love so much about it. But, I mean, and a lot, like, my hat's off to Mercury Steam for doing so well with this.
Yeah, it was really, it just whetted my appetite for more Metroid 2.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's next?
Yeah, I'm super excited for, you know, Metroid Prime 4, obviously, but I want to see more 2D Metroid like this. So hopefully, you know, they can kind of coexist. I know Nintendo's already said they want to do still some more 2D Zelda. So hopefully we'll still get a good mix of that, you know, 3D mainline, but also some 2D stuff.
Yeah. Did any of you guys get the Amiibos with the squishy Metroid?
Oh, yes, I did. It's sitting right on my little Amiibo desk with the my Amiibo stand that a friend of mine got me for Christmas a couple weeks ago. And it's the little Metroid outside, this little case is sitting on top next to the Samus one. And I think those two are probably one of my favorite Amiibos.
Nice. Yeah. All right.
It's so squishy indeed.
I could talk about the 3DS probably for this whole cast because I think it had such a great year, but we should move on to the Nintendo Switch. Kicking things off with eShop, and again, there's some nice differences between the fans and staff here. There are some common entries. Sonic Mania was the runner-up for both the staff and the fans, which is a good choice. I think I really enjoyed that. They also had Rocket League on both lists in third place. In the case of staff, Rocket League actually tied with SteamWorld Dig 2 in the voting, so which was kind of cool. But yeah, before we get on to the winner, we can talk about those games. I think, Harrison, you reviewed Rocket League?
That was me. And I had a lot of – knowing the game has a bit of its limitations in its own visuals as compared to its, you know, PC and bigger console brethren, but – the amount of fun I've had with this in its online matches to me was just, it felt like, you know, it's tailor-made for the Switch. And of course, when I first played it, whatever, I did have a bit of a rude awakening because of this one. Of course, this one does support, you know, cross-platform play with a, you know, PC and Xbox One users. So there's a few times where I got into like, oh, what are all these symbols that aren't, you know, Mii characters, or like, they're not Mii characters or little logos from the Nintendo Switch. And it's, you know, I'm realizing, oh, I'm playing cross-platform play. And then I end up playing a bunch of these players to a point where I'm like, I'm getting, it's like, wow, next thing I know it, it's 3-0. How do you pull this off? Wow. I mean, there's so much ability to whatever, and that when it comes to customization of your own vehicle, that I just kept going back and back and back and back. And I mean, obviously that's died down a little bit now, but to me, for something that's for a console like the Switch, whatever, it's a great thing for anybody who needs some, a bit of a multiplayer fix.
Nice. Yeah, I've got it. I have not had a chance to play it, I'm sad to say, but I'm sure I will get schooled by those who've been playing it on other consoles and practicing.
What's nice, Trevor, is they do have a really good training mode. So I would recommend going through the training mode and doing some exhibition matches and that sort of stuff. You can actually create your own custom training too. So it's pretty... pretty extensive now.
Oh, cool. I should note too that Rocket League is getting a either, or maybe it already has actually, it's getting a physical release.
Yeah, I think it came out this week. It was the 16th, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice. Oh, yeah. For any who've been waiting for that. That's happening with a lot of the indies. So,
yeah.
All right. So, yeah, Rocket League, which tied with SteamWorld Dig 2 for the staff. It did not make the fans list, although some people were commenting that it should have. And I think, Matt, you reviewed that one?
I will fight for SteamWorld Dig 2.
you know, hey, there have been plenty of people out there who, when it comes to their Metroidvania fix, they've preferred SteamWorld Dig 2. And you know what? That's cool. I understand.
Well, the unfortunate thing is I didn't get a chance to play Samus Returns yet.
Oh, you poor soul.
I know. Especially all the talking over...
We have to edit that out, the shame of it. I can't...
Hmm. Oh, no, I'll admit it. The guy who's talked most about wanting a 2D Metroid has not played the latest 2D Metroid. But, yeah, I know both Justin and I have got a chance to play all the way through SteamWorld Dig 2. And it is definitely, like, head and shoulders above, you know, the first SteamWorld Dig. They, like, really, really polished those mechanics and, you know, visuals. And just the whole feel of it I thought was nice. Because it... And, of course, it had its own identity, which was the best part. It wasn't just, oh, it's Metroid, but, you know, with steam robots instead of Samus. You know, it had its own, like, goals, and it had its own, like, mechanics that made it unique. It made it, like, a very unique platformer.
I hope, since the Wii U got a physical collection with the first one in Heist, I hope the Switch ends up getting a collection as well. Because they did they released Heist on it, which came out, I think, the last week of the year. It didn't make our list, even though Pete, I think, gave it a perfect score. But, yeah, that's another indie things I'd like to see in a physical collection, a SteamWorld collection for the Switch.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's one of the few games where I've sat down of my own volition and, like, you know, quote unquote, 100%ed the game, or tried to. I should say I didn't 100% the game because I was in that final dungeon the last time I played it, trying to get through that.
Nice.
Justin, I don't know if you had any thoughts of the game.
Yeah, I thought the, I mean, you touched on most of it, but yeah, the visuals, the gameplay, it really has a unique flair to it. And yeah, like you said, it has its own identity. Yeah, it has some Metroid, you know, mechanics, but it's amazing how well they've crafted their own thing. And it's funny that SteamWorld Dig 2 and Rocket League tied. Rocket League I love, but I always like new ideas and, you know, fresh games. If there was a tie with those two, I would still probably pick Dig 2 because it is such a fun and unique new title. So,
well, I guess for a tiebreaker, we can say SteamWorld Dig 2 made a cover of PNM and Rocket League didn't. So
that's right. That's right. As happy as I am, Rocket League is on the Switch. That was one of the games when the Switch was first announced. I think I actually remember tweeting at Psyonix from the Pure Nintendo Twitter account. I was like, guys, you need to make Rocket League. So I'll chalk that up to we convince them. So
nice. Yeah. So staff and really fans agreed on Rocket League and also Sonic Mania, which was runner up. But the winner's totally different. Staff winner did not make the fans list at all. Fan winner did not make the staff list at all. Let's start with the fans. They voted Stardew Valley as Switch eShop Game of the Year. And boy, was it close. It beat Sonic Mania by 1 percentage point. Wow. And amazingly, at least for the three of us, I don't think any of us have played it, at least on the Switch. Correct me if I'm wrong. But it certainly, I can't fault it. Just looking over Kaylin's review, she gave it a 9 out of 10. I remember when we had the poll up, she was actually tweeting to some of the fans how much she liked it and how addictive it was. So, I'm happy to see a unique choice. I shouldn't really say unique, actually. Stardew Valley, I think, is one of the eShop's best-selling games, but at least in terms of the staff voting, it's nice to see the fans come up with something that we didn't.
Yeah.
But for our personal pick, we voted Golf Story, which the fans overlooked for whatever reason. And I think, actually, I think Caitlin might have reviewed that one too, ironically. I think she reviewed both of the winners. But I know, Justin, you played that one. Did you have any opinion?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Golf Story. If you guys haven't checked it out, I think it was on sale, or maybe it hasn't had a sale. It's actually been selling pretty well, but it's a wholly unique indie title. This is actually their first game that they've ever developed, and so it's an exclusive to the Switch, which is kind of rare on the eShop list. Most of them are ports or available on other platforms. So Golf Story, if you've played any of the Camelot, Mario Golf, Game of Advance games, or, you know, things like that, where you have just a fun story to go along with the, kind of relaxing golfing mechanics of older golf games. NES Golf was one of my favorites way back in the day. I don't know if you guys have played that. There's a fun fact. If you guys played Wii Sports Golf, all of those original courses are based off of the 2D maps of NES Golf's levels.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So I remember when I was playing Wii Sports and I was like, man, these levels look familiar. Like when you'd see that like little mini map of the level, I'm like, where have I seen these? And then like I remember playing, like, NES Golf came out on the Virtual Console and I was like, ah, that's it. So that's kind of a cool throwback. But yeah, the gameplay mechanics are fantastic. It's very engaging. A lot of cool, unique locations in the game. You don't have to like golfing at all. If you've read Kaylin's review, she's like, I don't like golf. I've never played golf. And she loved it. So I think it's a fantastic game. So if you guys get a chance, check it out.
broad appeal and exclusive, like you said. So that's a that's a good to know. So yeah, congrats to these winners, and I guess congrats to Kaylin too. She ended up reviewing both the winners, so good for her. But of course, now the big, well, I shouldn't say, well, yeah, I guess the biggest category is probably Switch Game of the Year. Of course, looking at retail releases, and probably not as many surprises compared to the other categories. But there was a slight difference in terms of runners up. And I'm trying to pull up my list. Let's see. So the fans and the staff had one runner up in common, which we'll get to in a minute. But for third place, we picked Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Whereas the fans picked Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
So, good job, which fans. I can't
So maybe we can briefly just touch on both games. I reviewed Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, and I really liked it. I've not checked out the DLC yet, but I probably will at some point. And you played that too, right, Justin? Am I remembering right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mario and Rabbids. I really enjoyed it too. I did feel like the difficulty spiked a couple times throughout it.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah. I actually went back and was looking at some of the, you know, like I stopped playing the game for about a month or something, and they had done some patches, some updates to it. And there was one level I was particularly stuck on at one point, and they had actually fixed it and rebalanced it or something. Nice. So I was glad they were kind of going through, and I'm sure they can see kind of like gameplay data of like where players are getting stuck, you know, or spending more time on certain levels. So I thought that was good. But yeah, I thought it was fantastic. The visuals, the charm of it. I like that it's going to be supported with DLC. I've already got the expansion pass, so I'm excited to play as Donkey Kong and see what else they've got up their sleeve.
I was hemming and hawing if I should bring it up, but you know, the game got critical acclaim. It sold very well. And Matt, KoopaCast listeners may recall, you made a proclamation that if the game did well, you'd eat your hat.
I beg to differ. KoopaCast listeners won't recall at all, because all this will be cut.
cut.
What is that? They call that fake news or something? I don't know.
Now we're getting political on here, are we?
No. But yeah, we'll keep it with you, Matt, just to talk about Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which is actually the only game on the list that we do not have a published review as of yet. But we can guarantee PN, Pure Nintendo readers, no review will be more thorough, because Matt sunk, I think, 95 plus hours.
Oh, 100 plus hours.
Oh, wow. Nice. So without giving too much away, what can you tell us?
Xenoblade Chronicles 2 was definitely an interesting experience. A lot of the gameplay is, like, obviously the strong points are not coming through in the, like, the voice acting. At least the English voice acting, anyway. But I kind of try to, like, set that aside and kind of look at the core of Xenoblade Chronicles. And there's definitely a lot of good notes. The battle system, which I thought at first was going to be like a little bit convoluted, or not convoluted, sorry, a little bit like less simplistic, because going into it, there's going to be like less arts. You can only select about 4 arts at once if you include like the special attacks, instead of like the standard of 8 that we usually see from the Xenoblade series. But as you kind of go further, you see, oh, it's a little bit deeper than that, like learning how to chain special attacks, or learning how to chain driver combos, and then also blade combos. You know, it really makes for a very satisfying experience once you master these mechanics and kind of use it against the monsters. I didn't really like, or sorry, for most of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, I was able to, you know, take on monsters that were like about 10 levels ahead of me in the second half of the game, just because, or just through the mastery of all the different mechanics that go into the battle system. So I was really like, I was really satisfied with how rewarding that system is if you take it the time to learn it. Obviously, there are some shortcomings. I wasn't too much of a fan of the gacha. What do they call it in Japan? Like the gacha system, where it's just like that little gumball system where, like, you know, you try to draw.
Yeah, it's kind of like pseudo gambling type of thing.
I wouldn't call it gacha. Pseudo gambling in this case, because you're not betting anything. You're just, you know, because you receive core crystals all of the time, you know, whether right. it be like, especially commons, and then there's rares, and then later on there's legendaries, which is like increases your chances further still of getting a unique blade. I feel like the chances of getting a unique blade, even in like the rare and legendaries, were not as high as they should have been. And you always like, and you end up with like this common blade. And I don't feel like the common blade's values were there when you compared them to the unique blade. So I feel like that system could have been overhauled, but definitely the gameplay, you know, it was nice to see like a lighthearted tale. It wasn't too heavy on the heartstrings. I'm trying not to spoil anything, I promise. maybe I should walk that back. Harrison, Justin, do you feel like I like revealed something critical to you from that statement?
No, I wasn't even paying attention. Thank goodness.
Nice. I don't think you did.
Thank you for your time, Harrison.
well, to sum up, Matt, how do you feel about the fans picking that as their third favorite Switch game of the year?
I think it's a good choice. As somebody who sank a lot of time into JRPGs over the years, it's good to see that, you know, the genre is, you know, still alive and well. I thought the same thing back in the Wii U days when we got Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I think that was like one of the very, very few JRPGs that made it onto the Wii U. But, yeah, like I said, I like to see that kind of like representation. And I'm always up for another Xenoblade game.
Nice. All right. So that'll take us to the runner-up now for both staff and fans. And that's Super Mario Odyssey. I should note that this was somewhat close. We had to break it up because there were so many great Switch games. Odyssey dominated its first round of voting, but fell short in the last. For the staff, Odyssey is actually the only game to get a few first place votes before our eventual winner. So let's take a minute. We've all played Odyssey, so let's take a minute and chat about what we think of Mario's latest. Harrison, you want to start us off?
Hang on, Trevor. You're listening. Trevor, sorry, I just got to say, I admire the fact that you're hiding the winner, the GOTY winner, despite the overwhelming obviousness of the answer.
Well, you know.
We got to do a drum roll first, you know, pomp and circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
A game better than Odyssey. What could it have possibly been?
Mm-hmm. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Let's chat Odyssey for a minute.
Okay, yeah. Let's chat about Odyssey because, you know, since I played it on the demo table at E3 last year, I could definitely say that this was the Mario game that I've been looking forward to since Mario 64 and Mario Sunshine, which is just that with Mario with this incredible field of movement and ability, but also, you know, something that's still like accessible to, you know, players of all skill levels.
It's to me, well, you're right on that. It's something that I felt like was sorely missing for me for so long in terms of like a sandbox style Mario game, that I was really amazed by what this thing could do as much. And the best way I could describe it is this game is the best antidepressant in the world. I mean, you could be down so much and you can just play just a few minutes of this and you're just so peppy and happy at the same time. You know, it really does a lot to make you feel a lot better and make you try harder in your platforming. And, you know, just it all lies in the capture abilities too. There's just, you feel like these can be thrown away, but there's so much you can do with each of them. And to me, there were so many memorable ones out there that I just could not get enough of.
Yeah, to your point, Harrison, joy was like a consistent word that I would hear when people describe Mario Odyssey. And that's spot on, because you just it's hard not to be happy or smile when you're playing Mario Odyssey. It's just so light and fun and accessible, but still, you know, has a lot of depth, you know, and challenge to it. You know, of course, I think most veterans, you know, probably breeze through the game fairly easily, but you know, there's still quite a few challenges and you know, moons that are very hard to collect later in the game. But
yeah, 999 of those things out there.
Jeez.
I have collected. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I was just going to say the. I'm not sure where it quite falls. You know, wholly in my Mario experience, Mario platformers. I still really like the Galaxy games, and that's why I eventually did actually vote for Breath of the Wild, despite my.
Are you giving a spoiler, Justin?
Yeah, Justin, you're spoiling it.
Oh yeah, spoilers alert! Yeah,
edit that out.
Yeah, all right, Trevor, take it away.
so many listeners just tuned out, just in frustration and disgust.
Well, I was going to say for Odyssey, I almost feel like the main game is almost after. You know, you beat Bowser. Well, is that a spoiler? You know, it's always Bowser.
Spoilers, no.
But so much of the game is after that. I've sunk over 40 hours into it. I'm up to 625 stars or moons, excuse me. That's without buying any. Well, that's not true. I buy one in each kingdom, but I'm not buying them beyond that. So, yeah. And for those that are saying there's no challenge, just stick with it, and there's plenty.
Yeah, the challenge is there for those who are looking for it.
You know, there's some levels that remind me of those levels in Sunshine where you were without Flood, which were really tough. There's one part which would be a spoiler, and it's just like, ugh, like I'm 5 seconds in and I'm dying. So
feel free to put that on the poll quote on your Game of the Year edition of Mario Odyssey.
I did pick Odyssey as my winner. I was one of the few.
Ugh, P&M.
But I cannot fault our eventual our grand winner for both staff and fans, which was ACA Neo Geo Samurai Showdown 4. It's probably surprising.
Wait, what? I'm sorry. I thought it was. I have here on my notes ACA Neo Geo Waku Waku 7.
Yeah, Samurai Showdown 4 is fantastic, guys.
Yeah, not fault in any ACA Neo Geo games. That's what carried us through, you know, the early days of Switch reviews. But our winner is no surprise. It is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild,
which won
convincingly by the fans and fairly convincingly by the staff, probably a 2-1 margin. So, yeah, we've already had whole KoopaCast devoted just to this, but let's talk about it a little bit. Who wants to kick things off?
I guess I will. There was already so much like when the Switch was like, you know, first revealed, you know, I felt like there was already like a good amount of momentum going for it in terms of announcements, like, oh, you're seeing first and third party games. But as we got more information on Breath of the Wild, you could really see, you know, people's like, I don't want to say hype, but like people's enthusiasm and reaction to like this brand new Zelda experience that you're like, you haven't seen ever. Or, like, you know, maybe it reminds you of, like, the old games. And just excited so many people, like, this huge audience. And, you know, I'm sure Breath of the Wild drove, you know, people who weren't thinking of considering purchasing the Switch in the first place to purchase a Switch. So Breath of the Wild, I definitely should get a lot of credit for that. And that's just, of course, that's just, you know, the marketing and, like, the excitement for the game. But when the game released, I mean, that was, I gotta say, I mean, I'm really trying not to be hyperbolic here, but I felt like Breath of the Wild gave me an experience in gaming that, like, I had sorely missed in so many years. Like, just that brand new sense of, like, exploration and discovery and, like, wonder, and it was like, oh, what's around here? What's around here? It was exactly like, you know, some of us, like, older fogies here, like Trev and Justin here. You know, the days of the NES sitting in front of the television screen, you know, no internet or anything like that. It was just like only relying on your own wits and, you know, what was heard around the schoolyard that day.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It is definitely true. You know, that's what it felt like to me in a lot of ways. Like, you know, when I first played the NES game, that map seemed ginormous, you know, to my, you know, to me as a kid. And now it's like, oh, I'm playing Breath of the Wild. This is what ginormous really is. You know, it's in 3D and I see that mountain and let's go there. And 10 minutes later, I'm still going there. I haven't reached it yet. Oh, I tell you, just great game.
It's where to start with this game. And the best way I could describe it is it's Nintendo. I mean, there are certain flaws of this game I'm sure people can point out, but to me, there's just so much in here that just trumps over that whole majority of those flaws that you just kind of forget about in the back of your mind, and it doesn't really take away from the whole main experience. But this is Nintendo, you know, what this was a series that really, you know, needed a shakeup. It needed that, you know, that Resident Evil 4 style of shakeup to a franchise that needed it badly. And
especially after that last Zelda game on a console.
Well, to me, I there are things I like. About Triforce Heroes. Yeah, you're talking about that. Jeez.
Certainly not Skyward.
Well, there are things I like about Skyward, and I think I would like to see another. Well, not another. It had its chance. I mean, it's so decently okay, but it just I feel like I'd like to see what it'd be done on the Switch, right? But I don't see that. I don't see how people would want to go back to that after what we see with open world. But continuing on, what I was saying is that this is Nintendo taking all those ideas from Western gaming's development tools, putting their spin on it, and just, you know, telling the whole world, just like it was a collective mic drop. It's like, hey, look what we can do as well, and it's there. You know, it's to me, it's I would go back and play like Skyrim, for instance, and I'd be like, why can't I climb here? Or like, not why, it's like, it takes me out, but not to say it makes me bad, but it's like, it makes me wish I could climb in these games. So,
Yeah. Justin, you reviewed the game and recently both the DLC packs. So you've already said a ton of it, but is there anything you want to add?
Yeah. If you check out the review post, I've updated it with reviews for each of the DLC packs and then kind of a summary paragraph just on the game as a whole with the expansion pass. Like Harrison said, where do you start with Breath of the Wild? I'll try and keep it succinct, but I loved the sense of discovery. I agree with Matt there. It had amazing discovery. It was missing some key elements that I usually play Zelda games for. I mean, it was definitely the Zelda game that I played most of. I spent probably, I don't know, 80, 90 hours or something like that. I would prefer, you know, a shorter game with, you know, better quality dungeons and bosses and, you know, story and that sort of thing. But I love what they did with Breath of the Wild, and I'm excited to see the evolution of that. You know, maybe bringing in, you know, I agree with Harrison that, you know, there needed to be a shakeup, and Breath of the Wild has appealed to, you know, all of these new gamers. My sister-in-law, for instance, she doesn't really play video games. And, you know, she saw the cooking gameplay mechanic and she would play my brother-in-law's, you know, save game file. And she's like, oh, I'll just cook up stuff, you know. And that was almost like the gateway to it. And then she didn't want to do any combat, and so she would just kind of explore finding Koroks. And then now she's like played, you know, she got more confident with the combat. And like, to me, that's the best testament to Breath of the Wild, is that it can take, you know, anyone and, you know, give them that sense of wonder and discovery. And to me, that's the real success of it. And hopefully they add some more fun depth to it, but I was definitely surprised and delighted by what they did add to it.
Yeah, and critically acclaimed, and it sold great, almost as well as Super Mario Odyssey. I will just say, just in my defense, not that I need to defend my vote, One of the reasons I picked Odyssey over Breath of the Wild is I played Breath of the Wild on the Wii U. That was my Wii U game of the year vote, even though we didn't have a category for that. And I think finding moons was a little more rewarding than hunting for Korok seeds.
Did you you got them all, right?
No, I might have found out what the reward was, and it sort of dampened.
Oh, you found out? Oh, you basically found out why? Oh, that was the case.
Yeah, I thought maybe the reward sounded just a little crappy. I don't know. So.
Oh, as it is.
But both are great games. I do think, in a sense, Odyssey maybe was hurt a little bit by its timing. And what I mean by that is when Breath of the Wild came out at launch, that really was the only game to play for that first, you know, month or two. And by the time Odyssey came out, it was like, oh, we're getting the flood of holiday games. So I don't know. But both are great games. And I mean, if 2018 can have games even close to Breath of the Wild and Odyssey, we're going to be, I just can't even, such amazing game, such an amazing year. Mm-hmm. I did just want to take a minute just to give some shout outs to games that didn't make our list, but still got some love and some votes from fans and good reviews from us. These are some of the games that got higher totals, but weren't quite high enough. ARMS on the Switch, which is still getting some good updates. So yeah, it's probably even a better game now. Mm-hmm. Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World on 3DS, which is a port slash somewhat reimagining of one of my favorite Wii U games. Snipper Clips Plus, Cut It Out Together, and Splatoon 2, which just missed making the finalist. But it shows you what a great year it is with games like those can't even make the finals.
I know. Yeah, I like Splatoon 2. I played a lot of this year, and it's amazing. Yeah, you look back and you think, oh wow, two games like Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, you know, that are vying for, you know, the number one spot, but then you still have all these, you know, really other good. See, ARMS is a great new unique title. You know, Splatoon is a sequel, but I thought for if we did have a category for like best new game or unique game, I think Ever Oasis and ARMS, you know, might have gotten some more love there. But
oh yeah, that's it.
We have to consider that in the future. Best debut game or something. I don't know. Something
yeah, like definitely. Yeah. Definitely. But we love the games, and fans loved them too. Just not, you know, there's no shame losing the games like, you know, Breath of the Wild, Odyssey. They were the big winners on Switch. Samus Return on 3DS. Just a great year for Nintendo all around.
Great, and it's a matter of, like, I'm sure probably 2018 we may not get the same output. Well, not output, but same, like, hit after hit after hit after hit. But still, you know, not makes you wonder if something could happen. But this is essentially the year that Nintendo needed to get this console off the ground.
No, absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, hopefully you enjoyed our picks. Check out our reviews if you haven't. And, yeah, shout out to the all the developers. We'll be tweeting out some banners to them pretty soon as well. So keep an eye on our Twitter feed for that.
All right, just to close it out, definitely an incredible year for both the Switch and the 3DS. Again, the first year of the Switch, you know, phenomenal, I thought. I'd like to thank Trev, especially you, for kind of carrying the weight of this podcast while I recuperate here.
I've bided my time. I've waited for years for this.
Harrison, for contributing and paying attention.
Oh, yeah. Except for that one. Yeah. Oh, I see where this is going. I see. Okay. Yeah. Love you too. Love you too.
Love you too.
We're one big happy family. Justin, thank you for joining me as well.
No problem.
And I would like to thank all of our readers for reading our awesome magazine and our wonderful website. For all you who are listening to the KoopaCast, and as well as our other various audio and video productions that we have put out over the years. If you would like to listen to more episodes of the KoopaCast, you can always go to purenintendo.com/KoopaCast, or you can go to iTunes and look up the KoopaCast, or sorry, not iTunes, or you can go to, yeah, iTunes or the podcast app and look up KoopaCast, and you'll see us there. I would also like to say that we have a Patreon page. I'm sure I said it at the beginning of the podcast, like I do every podcast, but we do have a Patreon page if you'd like to check that out. Justin, you can tell them where they can go to check it out.
Yeah, it's just patreon.com/purenintendo. Pretty simple.
And you can also see a link to our Patreon page on our main website, purenintendo.com. Our goal is to bring back print magazines, and we know you all want to have that sweet Pure Nintendo goodness in your hands like we do. All right? And with that, if you want to see more news, reviews, and features, please check out purenintendo.com. And we will see you all next time.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
See you all later. Thanks for the great year.
Good job, everyone.
Man, that was fun.